Our scripture reading this morning comes from Psalm chapter 8. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens, and out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? That you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You've given them dominion over the works of your hands. You've put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and all the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. So when I was in college, my roommate and I would go to ACL every year. Has anyone ever been to ACL, Austin City Limits? Any fans here? Oh, okay, I got one in the back. Eric Ruth, I love it. So Austin City Limits is a fantastic musical festival. It was an entire weekend long. It's a long weekend, like Thursday to Sunday. Now it's 2 weekends long. But back then, that weekend would line up with our spring break every year. And so my roommate and I would go. And we would drive to his small town, small hometown of Luling, Texas. I won't ask if anyone's been there. It's about 45 minutes outside of Austin. And we would stay with his parents to get some affordable housing there and would drive into the city each day for the festival. And I remember the first time that he took me to his home in Luling. Luling's a very small town. It was founded as a railroad town. It was a center for cattle drives. The population of Luling, Texas is 5,000 people. And his house, my roommate's house, was about 10 miles from this small town center. And I remember driving out there for the first time. Straight roads became curvy roads. Paved roads became gravel roads. And we started to drive slower and slower the further that we got away from the city lights. And we made it to his house that first night we stayed there. And I stepped out of his old Jeep. And despite being away from any sort of light, I remember that the gravel of his driveway was glowing. And I looked up at the clear western night sky, and it was like seeing it for the first time. It felt like it had been zoomed in towards me, that it was so much bigger than I'd ever seen. There were stars that I'd never seen before in the sky, and the moon was like a lantern. You held out your hand, and you could see a shadow underneath it. Being from Houston, we love light pollution, and this isn't something that I was used to out in the country. The country sky of West Texas was something different, and it made me feel really, really small, which is not something I'm used to feeling, someone of my size. But I think that's the feeling that the psalmist had when they wrote Psalm 8. When I look to your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and stars that you set firmly in place, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mere mortals that you care for them? Or as it reads in the Message, many of y'all know that I love Eugene Peterson's interpretation of Scripture in the Message. I look up at your macro skies, dark and enormous, your handmade sky jewelry, moon and stars mounted in their settings, and then I look at my micro self and wonder, why do you bother with us? Why take a second look our way? It's a powerful mixture of awe and humility. In our psalm this morning, this is the first psalm in the Psalter that is a hymn of praise. Up to this point, the first 7 psalms are very different than this, but this is a specific hymn of praise, and it begins and ends, if you notice, with that same line, O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. It's not just poetry, it's worship. The psalmist is caught up in the awe of God's glory. One of my favorite writers is Anne Lamott, and she says that there are basically three prayers: help, thanks, and wow. And this is wow. That's the prayer of this psalm. Wow, God's name is written on the canvas of nature. One of my favorite movies as a kid was Angels in the Outfield. Has anyone seen this movie? Okay, all right, great. Would have loved that for Austin City Limits, but I'll take it for Angels in the Outfield. Angels in the Outfield is an old Disney movie from 1994, and it's about a boy played by a young Joseph Gordon-Levitt, a boy in foster care who prays for the California Angels to win the pennant so his father will come back home. And this is obviously before they were known as the Los Angeles Angels. But God hears his prayer and assigns angels to this request, specifically to this baseball team. And all throughout the movie, there's angels helping the players on this team win these games. And only the boy can see these angels. One of the players is a young Matthew McConaughey, and he's out in the outfield, and he's going for a ball, and angels lift him up and fly with him and help him catch the ball. But, you know, on the screen, you know, there's no one there. But he can see the angels flying with him. And early in the movie, he and another little boy are having a conversation in their foster care home, and they're looking up at the sky, and they see a crescent moon, so like the sliver moon, and the little boy says to him, "That's God's thumbnail." And that always stayed with me. Every time I look at the moon, I think of that. That's the thumbnail of God. God's imprint is on creation. We can see his handiwork on display, or as our hymn book puts it, "This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass, I hear him pass. He speaks to me everywhere." But the psalm doesn't just stay focused on God's grandeur in the skies. It takes an unexpected turn towards us, towards humanity, towards you and me. And the psalmist asks this question: why would God, who painted the galaxies with his finger, care about us? It's a good question. Maybe it's one you've asked yourself before. Maybe it's one you've asked while you were staring into the night sky like me. Maybe you were on the shores of a North Carolina beach watching the waves come in. Maybe you were in the mountains staring out into a pink sunset. And the psalmist's answer to his question is astonishing. God not only cares for us, God entrusts us with creation, with caring for creation. Yet we've so narrowly missed being gods. I'm back in the message here. Bright with Eden's dawn light, you put us in charge of your handcrafted world, repeated to us your Genesis charge, made us stewards of sheep and cattle, even animals out in the wild, birds flying and fish swimming, whales singing in the ocean deep. The word that's used here is dominion. God, you have given us dominion over the works of your hands. Now, we hear that in 2025, and we think we're in charge, right? We're in charge. Maybe you have images of corrupt power systems at work, but in the ancient world, this word dominion implied care, and it implied a ruling with responsibility. In the ancient world, the mark of a good kingdom, the mark of divine dominion, was a mutual flourishing. And this is one of the most remarkable affirmations in scriptures, that you and I, fragile, finite human beings, those made with the dust, as we say at Ash Wednesday, from dust we are and shall return, are not just dust. We are partners with God and caring for creation, or as Paul is later going to put it, co-laborers is the word he's going to use. Now, let's be honest. We don't always live like that. We look at the earth today, oceans are choked with plastic, forests are on fire, there are species going extinct. We don't really see dominion, we see domination. And if we're honest and confessional, we have treated God's creation as disposable rather than as a sacred trust. And it's not just with the natural world, right? It's with one another. How we treat one another as creatures created in the image of God. Because that's what we hear in the first chapter of the Bible. Genesis 1:27, let us make humankind in our image. We are made in the image of God. We too bear the thumbprint of God. And we forget time to time that each one of us, as this psalm claims, is crowned with glory and honor. You know, too often, we look at one another and we see categories, rich and poor, Republican or Democrat, man or woman, gay or straight, and we miss the image of God shining through in the person standing in front of us. But Psalm 8 calls us back to humility, back to responsibility, back to wonder and awe and curiosity. Psalm 8 reminds us that God just doesn't save us from something. God saves us for something. We are saved for a life of stewardship, a life of care and dignity, caring for creation, for the world, for one another, and yes, even for ourselves. And I will admit, I especially struggle with this last one, seeing the image of God in myself. The other night, my son said to me, Dad, I want to eat a lot of pizza. And I felt pride. Had a moment of, hey, this kid might just make it. So I took him to a place that my dad used to take my brothers and I. It's a place I hadn't been to in a while. I heard that there was one around here, and I Googled it. It was like 17 minutes from us. I took him to CC's Pizza. Yeah. Any fans? Let me see. So it's a moment of Beth Griffin. That is shocking, and I love it. CC's Pizza is an all-you-can-eat pizza buffet. It's the best pizza value anywhere, as the commercials used to say. And it tastes like it. It tastes like the best pizza value anywhere, right? It's not great, but it's all you can eat. And let's just say I got my money's worth that night. And I got my son's money's worth because he only ate 3 slices. Now, I often overeat. I often undersleep. I'm notorious for getting to bed too late. I don't make it to the gym as much as I'd like to. God help me. And I'm always, no matter who's in the room with me, I am always my own worst critic. Now, maybe some of that sounds familiar to you. But yet, and yet, I am made in the image of God. And so are you. We are saved for a life of stewardship and care and dignity for all of God's creation, for the world, for one another, and yes, even for ourselves. Not because we are good in and of ourselves, but because God created us and calls us good. Not only good, but very good. And though I struggle to see that in myself, Lord knows I struggle at times to see that in each other and one another, I do see that. And my 4-year-old son. I look at Kincaid and I think, yeah, he's created in the image of God. I see it in who he is. Jesus once said, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And I think of that when I hear the opening verses of the psalm. You've set your glory above the heavens out of the mouths of babes and infants. Or as it says in the message, nursing infants gurgle choruses about you. Toddlers shout the songs. And it's true. Take it from me, I have a toddler. And he oozes with awe and wonder of God's creation. It's no wonder that all he wants to do is get outside. I've learned over these 4 years that to become a parent is just to be outside all the time. I spend most of my time as a dad trying to get us back inside, right? He wants to go to the park. He wants to go swimming. He wants to look at bugs. And as of a month ago, he wants to climb trees. He lives in a perpetual state of wonder, of humility, of feeling small in the midst of a big, big world. And I'm already worried about him aging. Because the older we get, the further we drift from it. We trade sunlight for fluorescent light. We trade magnifying glasses for eyeglasses. We trade barefooted running on the grass with supportive running shoes on the treadmill. It's nearly impossible for awe and wonder to not atrophy with age. As Abraham Joshua Heschel once wrote, our concern is not how to worship in the catacombs, but how to remain human in the skyscrapers. And there aren't many kids in skyscrapers, only adults who've forgotten what it was like to marvel at God's creation. Maybe the call of this psalm is to recover that childlike awe, and not only to recover it, but to let it shape how we live our lives. May we take time to look at the stars and to not just feel small, but to remember that we are loved. Or more accurately, as Martha said in our prayers, beloved, dearly loved. May we remember that God has entrusted us with responsibility. May we remember that we are all crowned with glory and honor. And then, may we live like it. May we treat the earth as God's handiwork rather than our possession. May we see every person as sacred rather than a category or disposable. And may our lives echo the song of Psalm 8. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Amen.